Hello and welcome to this episode of Bank FinTech Fusion. This is Philip Ryan with CCG Catalyst, and I'm joined today by Ismail Scheib of Tissobi, based in Berlin, which is better known in tech circles probably for Open Bank Project, which is one of the things it does, and Ismail will tell you a little bit about that. So Ismail, welcome.
Hello. Hi. Thanks for having me. Pleasure.
Thank you for coming. So how did you get involved in financial services? Did you come from a technology background, or is there something in particular that brought you into the fintech part of the world? And also let people know what Tissobi is about in an Open Bank Project.
Sure. Yeah. So again, thanks for the invite. So I'm the Chief Operating Officer at Tissobi. We're a Germany-based company, and we're the company behind the Open Bank Project, as you mentioned, which is a leading open source API management solution for banks. What we do is we help incumbent banks expose APIs, expose data, and work with fintech companies around the world. And really, I think I fell into that kind of by chance. I grew up in Algeria, North Africa, and then went to study in France. And while I was in France, I met with the founder and the CEO of the Open Bank Project, Simon Redfern. And he was telling me all about this, crazy ideas. That was back in 2010. So I think the word fintech didn't really, wasn't a thing back then. And so he was telling me about all these crazy ideas of APIs and opening up the banks and banks working with startups and so on and so forth. And I was like listening to him, very carefully, and saying, "This is crazy. This will never happen. I want to be part of it." and that's somehow how I got into this. I come from a technology background. I saw, what technology can do. I had a company doing APIs in the telco industry before that. So I really saw and I believed very strongly, about the sort of potential and opportunities opened up by technology, by APIs, and so on. And yet, the financial industry looked like this very, archaic and slow moving sort of beast. So I think for us, the vision or one of the kind of early drivers for building this was really like, okay, how can we make this little bit more, technology, little bit more modern, I guess, and how can banking leverage all these new technologies that exist out there?
The first thing I remember with Simon, I think I met Simon in 2012 or so, and he had the sort of, he's a musician, right? So he had the musical notes for your bank account. And it's still around, it's still online, and every now I think people stumble onto it and they're like, "What is this?" But that was, I think it was an early demonstration of API.
Right. Yeah. So that was exactly. So, we're in 2010, 2011. Really, banks do not, bankers do not understand what an API is, let alone open banking. And so we were like really scratching our head. How can we explain this, in kind of in a fun way, in an engaging way? And as you said, Simon is a musician, IT guy, but also musician, composer. And so we said, okay, why don't we do a singing bank? So let's take your transaction data and play a piano note out of it. So if money comes in, it's a high-pitched note. If money goes out, it's a low-pitched note. And that got us a little bit of attention. So that was a fun thing. It actually was done in a hackathon over the weekend, So that's that was a nice souvenir from this from that area for sure.
Yeah. Well,
and I think actually you're right. And people can still look at it at singingbank.com. You can actually play around and see how it
singingbank.com.
works.
Yeah, check it out. Yeah, it's interesting that APIs, the industry is finally coming around to APIs, and we'll talk about this more, but I read a trends piece, 5 trends for 2020, and one of the trends was APIs, like as if it's something, coming from outer space that's, that it's not something that's operating all around us every second on the internet. So I think there's still a lack of familiarity in the industry with with APIs, unfortunately. But I know that's part of your mission is educating people on that.
Yeah, absolutely. And I think, you know, if you talk to some folks at banks, they would tell you, well, we had APIs for 20 years. And to some extent, they're probably right. I mean, you know, connect API as in an interface between two software products has been around for years. What is new today is that it's open APIs. These are APIs, and these are connection points between the bank, the legacy system, and external provider and third party providers, you know, fintechs or otherwise. And that opens up new opportunities. It opens up new challenges, and that's very much a new thing.
Right. So what is the most important lesson that you've learned in your career, whether at Tissobi or before? What's the thing that's maybe had the biggest effect or impact on you?
Wow, that's a good one. That's a deep one. Let me think. The biggest lesson. Well, I think what's really both for, you know, in a professional context and also maybe personal one, there is this idea of, you know, kind of empathy, I think, like trying to have empathy with regard to the other person and what is it like to be you. And this is kind of a guiding principle that I try to use nowadays. I'm really trying to understand whether that I'm in front of a, you know, a fintech company or a bank or a small bank, big bank, etc. Really, what's their reality and how do they look at things? And I think it opens up a lot more sort of opportunities and kind of shed lights on blind spots. So that's a cool guiding principle. What is it like to be you, Phil?
I think the world would be a better place if more people thought that way. And it's something that's missing so much in, not just in tech, but really in every industry. I think don't put ourselves
right
place of the other person enough.
Right. Absolutely. I think also in a commercial setting, right? Like you can offer something which is a lot more contextualized, a lot more relevant to your customer, you know, versus just giving the same thing to provide the same thing to everyone, you know?
Right. What's the greatest challenge facing Tissobi and Open Bank Project today?
Greatest challenge? I would say, so I think, let's put it in sort of phases, right? So when we were talking earlier, the kind of, you know, how it all started. And I think the biggest challenge at that time was education, was, you know, trying to explain what is an API, what's open banking, et cetera, why it is important. I think today there's a lot more momentum, as you said, around these topics, right? So people are more interested and they wouldn't necessarily roll their eyes when you talk to them about APIs. But I think we're based in Germany, right? And in Europe, as you probably know, there is this whole PSD2 piece of regulation, which basically forces all the banks to open their data to approve third parties. And I think what I see as a big challenge here is that people really stick, or the financial institutions really stick to the letter of the regulation and do not necessarily see the value or see how they can capture the value, you know, beyond just compliance, right? So how do we really realize the full potential of open banking? So to me, that's a key challenge today. So it's great that people are doing APIs, but if they're doing it just for the sake of regulation and just in the kind of limited scope of regulation, but that's not really our vision, right? I think there is a much, much bigger opportunity to go beyond regulation. And that's kind of another struggle today.
But you've seen some great changes, right? The regulation came about after you guys were already doing your thing. So you've already seen, in a way, you've seen massive progress. I mean, the U.S. is very far from any of this kind of regulation.
Oh, yeah, absolutely. I mean, it's very different from 2010, that's for sure. And to be honest with you, like, I mean, we knew it will go this way. We knew early on that, it's kind of inevitable for financial institutions to open up. I didn't expect it to be that fast and that regulation will
will catch on. And today, it's not just PSD2 in the European Union. There's 47 countries around the world that mm-hmm. are either have adopted open banking regulation or are considering it. And I think this is, you know, this is immensely important. And this is amazing how fast this trend is sort of catching fire globally. Unfortunately, as you said, the US is not part of these countries, but I don't know, maybe things will change in the future. But no, apps, it's radically different today how things are changing. But my point is, you know, it's also, it can be, regulation is really good. I think we're very much in favor of that. But it can also be a trap, you know, if what it only does is just enable banks to offer some APIs no one wants to use, if you see what I mean, right? So I think there are risks, right? It's, regulation is not going to solve everything. I think it's a great start, but it's definitely not something that will solve everything.
Right. And some banks have asked for delays and there are exceptions, right, to before they're going to comply. Hasn't that happened? Or maybe that was in the UK. I was reading about that.
Right. Yeah. No. It's happening. It's happening everywhere. There are delays. There are, like, you know, the APIs are not so reliable in the end. So it's, you know, there are challenges for sure. Yeah. And but you know, that's why technology companies like ourselves, like others, you know, are in the market, right? Really to help these banks solve the challenges that come from deploying APIs. Deploying open APIs is no easy fit for sure. It's you know, it's plenty of challenges to deal with.
Right. All APIs are not created equal, right?
Absolutely. Absolutely. Can't agree more.
So what a key to banks and fintech companies working together effectively and successfully?
Well, I think, first of all, they need to understand what success means for both sides. I think, like, the discrepancy between expectations between the two, I think, is a key failure factor. Let's put it that way. But I think typically what we see in the engagements we do, and you know, we work with the likes of, I don't know, HSBC, BNP Paribas, and we have 11,000 developers, fintech developers around the world, using our APIs to build financial technology applications. And to me, what's really important is, you know, to have the right technology in place, to have some sort of safe space, you know, kind of to borrow some of the lingo from a non-tech environment. So I think, like, having things like sandbox environments, fintech competitions, really safe spaces, safe environment, controlled environment where both the bank and fintech can try the relationship risk-free, I think is really important. And but then I think above all, what you also need is an alignment in culture between the two entities and some form of sponsors that can really take a leap of faith in the fintech and make sure that things are happening.
Is it more of a cultural challenge for most banks than a technological one, or is it both?
I think it's both, but the harder, technology is something you can solve. I think the hardest challenge is the culture, right? That's what is most difficult to address.
Right. What currently developing or future technology do you think has the greatest potential to benefit the financial service space?
Am I biased if I say APIs?
You say APIs, but tell me how they're going to evolve over the next few years.
Right. Well, I think, I mean, kind of jokes aside, I really do believe that this trend of openness and being able to, me as an end user, being able to access my data on my own terms and do whatever I want with it is here to stay, right? So whether it's driven by regulation, as we were saying, or driven by customer expectations, behavior, and so on, but it's definitely something that is here to stay. And APIs is part of, you know, how do you solve that equation, right? APIs is a kind of a nice way to share data. I think we will see a lot more development around authentication, and, you know, how can you securely access and share data with third parties. Today we have things like
OAuth, OpenID, Connect, FAPI, things like that. But I think there's a lot more development in that particular area. Where do we store data? That's also something I think where we will see more developments.
Ownership of data, I feel like is that issue is really coming, and it's gonna be a big one.
Absolutely, absolutely. I think that's really the key. The key to all of this, so the philosophical question or sort of underpinning of all open banking is that who owns the data? Is it the bank or is it me, the end user? If it's the end user, well, I should be able to access it and do whatever I want with it, right? And I think that's definitely the key question kind of in the future, and any technology touching upon that would be very much welcome.
Yeah. So how do you see open banking developing in the US? I'm sure you saw the news that Chase has its own sort of proprietary data agreement that they're requiring all third parties to sign onto. And so in the absence of federal or any kind of regulation, the banks are basically making their own rules. Is this going to slow things down, or is this an inevitable step along the way?
Well, I mean, you have Chase, but you also have obviously Plaid, who just got bought by Visa, right? And I think that's also an important actor. What's Visa going to do with Plaid now? We don't know, but I think that's definitely an important actor in that space. I'm not going to kind of try and make predictions here, but I think in the US, it's really sort of up for grab. I could see a scenario where I think, and you guys have an election coming up, right? So I think that will have an impact on the subject we're talking about here. If you have a Trump administration, there's probably going to be, one can assume there will be like a hands-off, or continue to have a hands-off approach, kind of leave it to the market, leave it to the bank to do stuff. Actually, there is a lot going on in the US today, in open banking, like with the banks trying to do API standards. There's something called NACHA. There's different stuff really happening, and it's really market driven.
Financial data exchange. Yeah, exactly.
Yeah. FDX is another one. Yep. And, it's kind of in New Zealand, for instance, there is a similar kind of initiative. So it's really market driven, and the banks, the financial institutions coming together and trying to issue API standards. I think, there's pros and cons to this approach. But then if you have Bernie Sanders, say, will win the elections, then, you might see a very much a hands-on approach towards open banking with a mandatory regulation and things like that. And that's definitely going to change things and provide a different environment. So I don't really know where things are going. I think it will happen, whether it is pushed by regulation or not. But I would see more and more financial institutions opening up. The problem in the US also is, you guys have over 11,000 financial institutions all in all, with credit unions and so on. So it's that comes with its advantages and inconvenience as well.
Right. So how can Open Bank Project help banks in the US? And maybe also you can explain to bankers who may not understand, how can open banking help? Open banking in general help the banks themselves in the US?
So, okay, let me try with how can open banking help, and then I'll talk a little bit more about the Open Bank Project. Well, I think, it really depends who you are and what you want to achieve as a financial institutions. But open banking definitely is a way to accelerate fintech partnership. It's definitely a way to bring new products, improve products, have value-added services to the market faster. So there is this idea that, we no longer, as a financial institution, as big as you can be, you're no longer to provide and address all the needs, requirements of your customers, right? There's just too much, kind of going on and changing so quickly that you can't address everything. But if you partner with third parties who understand those micro segments who are popping up, then you will have a much more leverage, right? And you will be able to bring new products to market faster. You'll be able to bring better, maybe better products, and you can improve the customer experience, and you can reach people that you want, that you don't reach in like normally. So for instance, in our community, another example of an app is someone who built an app for visually impaired people. So mm-hmm. instead of like seeing the balance, it would speak the balance to you, right? So what's my balance? It speaks the balance to you. And so this is something obviously, very interesting for a micro segment, right? Visually impaired people. Not something your typical credit union will be spending effort and resources on to deliver. So by partnering with someone, you can, get the benefit, you can get the upside of serving your customers better or serving more customers, without having the downside of, investing resources and having the skills and money and so on and so forth to do it. I think another advantage of open banking, which some people are trying, some doing it successfully, some other kind of still exploring, is that you can actually monetize your data. And I think the US is a great example of that, right? So Plaid offers data and monetize someone else's data, actually financial institutions' data, monetize that very successfully, right? So so I think in general, it's a way to speed up things. It's a way to reach more customers, and then it's a way to make more money with building on data.
Right, and how about open bank projects?
Right, yeah. In terms of open bank projects, so as we were saying, it is not easy to deploy open APIs and to actually make those fintech partnership happens and make them successful. So what we do with the open bank project is we offer you the technology that help you, Mr. Financial Institutions, deploy, or Miss Financial Institution, deploy APIs, connect with your legacy system, abstract away all the complexity of your legacy, and then instead have a set of fintech and fintech-friendly and modern APIs and the developer experience that goes with it and all the toolings that goes with it, the monitoring, the monetization, etc. And so that's what we do, really, like helping the financial institutions expose these APIs in the right way and help them access fintech developers who want to partner. Again, we have over 11,000 developers who are using our APIs globally. And so that's what we do. We also offer safe spaces. So we offer sandboxes where financial institutions can test APIs. And with test data, in the cloud, so really secure and risk-free experiments. And the technology is open source. So if you go to the openbankproject.com or on GitHub, you can actually see the source code. You can download it for free. You can use it for free, and so on. So it's really giving away the code base so that people can try, and then later on, if you're ready to go in production, our team will be happy to help.
And you've done this all over the world, so you can also give examples of things that have worked and have not from the banks all over the world that you've worked with, which I think is also could be helpful to US banks in particular.
Yeah, no, absolutely. And in the US, we have a couple of customers. So end of last year, for instance, we did we deployed a sandbox environment and did a hackathon with Citizens Bank, for instance, quite successful one. Yeah. But definitely, yeah, definitely lots of learning. And I think, because we've been also running for so much time, we've done all the mistakes that are possible, that are imaginable, so that, our customers today won't do that.
And so where will we see you this year? What events are you planning to attend this year where people might run into you?
So there is we're going to the US next month. There's a conference called INV Demo, which is happening in Seattle, where we're going to be. We also always attend Money 2020, Cyboss, and we do our own conference. We have a conference called API Days London that we organized, and that's going to be November in the UK, November this year.
Where is Cyboss this year?
Cyboss is going to be in Boston.
Boston, oh yeah, right.
Yeah.
All right, great. Ismail, thank you so much for joining me today.
Great, thank you. And again, if there are any more, for more information, openbankproject.com, you'll have all the info about open banking.
Yeah, I'll put all the information below this recording. So thank you everyone for listening. And if you enjoy this podcast, please subscribe on Apple Music or wherever you listen to your favorite podcasts. And again, I'll put all the information about Open Bank Project along with this recording. So thank you and take care.
Thanks, Phil. Thanks, everyone. Take care. Bye.